Front Range Outdoors is brought to you in part by Wild Montana's Island Range Chapter, uniting and mobilizing communities to keep Montana wild. Learn more at wildmontana.org/IRC. Also, Front Range Outdoors is sponsored by Great Falls Area State Parks, including Giant Springs, Tower Rock, First People's Buffalo Jump, and Sluice Boxes, providing year-round cultural, historical, and recreational experiences for the Great Falls area.
Good afternoon and welcome to Front Range Outdoors on KGPR Great Falls. This is Amy Grisak, and today we are talking with Melinda Harrison in Livingston, Montana. Now, I've known Melinda for quite a few years. I always tease her that she's my Scandinavian twin. We're both writers, freelance writers. We both have boys the same age. She actually, though, covers a lot of Yellowstone, where my stomping grounds tend to be glacier. So, but with everything that is going on lately, we wanted to touch base with Melinda and see how they're faring in Livingston and that area, and also to give us a perspective of what's going on in the park. So thank you, Melinda, for being here with us this afternoon.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So how are you and how is everything? Can you kind of describe what's been going on here this last week or so?
Yeah, well, we personally are fine. We're lucky to live on a tiny little hill in town, which was well above flood waters. But it's absolutely been, as my husband says, it's been a very long month this week.
Yes.
And with the Yellowstone reaching, you know, catastrophic flood stages, and we have luck since we haven't had any personal issues. Well, our storage unit flooded, but that's so minor. We've been able to help fill sandbags and volunteer at the Food Resource Center and kind of just lend a hand to people as everybody scrambles to deal with this flood.
Now, how accessible is everything on your end? So you're in Livingston, correct?
Yep. We are in Livingston.
And so you can get in and out of Livingston okay, but how about Gardner now?
Yep, Livingston is fine. And, you know, originally they had closed Highway 89 mostly through the Paradise Valley, which is between Livingston and south to Gardner. That is open for local traffic, although there are a couple of restaurants and things open too, so I think we can go down there, and we have gone down there. Gardner, I believe, is still only for local and emergency traffic because they were really stranded basically for a couple days, but not really open to the general public or people just wanting to go and look. And the same with Silvergate and Cook City. They're still pretty well cut off.
Wow, really? Okay. Which makes sense, too, that, you know, even if you can get down there to be able to stay away to let emergency personnel do what they need to do.
Yeah, you just don't want to be in the way either.
Correct. Absolutely. So with the park, then, of course, you know, some people are canceling plans. Some people continue, you know, they want to go down. They want to support the local communities. But what areas of the park can people access as of this coming up third week of June?
So right now, today, the park is still closed. And actually, a lot of the national forest around here is closed, too. My son and I went for a hike yesterday, and we went over towards Bozeman just because they're still assessing roads and trailheads and bridges and things like that. But on Wednesday, the 22nd, the three of the park entrances will be open, which is the West Yellowstone, the South entrance, and the Cody entrances will be open. And they're doing this alternating license plate system where if the last number on your plate is odd, you can go in odd days. And if the last number on your plate is even, you can go in on even days.
Wow.
And if you don't have any numbers, you go an odd day. And if you're in a motorcycle group, you go an even day.
Oh, my. And I thought the ticketing in Glacier was a little tough.
I know. And I think they are working on a system more like the Glacier system.
Okay.
But right now, there's so many people that already have reservations. So for them to come out here and not be able to get in the park, but the alternating license plate at least means you can get in every other day.
True.
So, you know, it's a scramble. Everybody's trying to figure out what to do, but it seems like the Park Service took a lot of input from local communities and came up with this. So
that works.
It will be interesting. And it's really easy, right? You just have to look at a license
That's
plate.
True.
So it's an easy system.
Yeah, you don't have to.
But once you get in you don't have to like show your reservation.
Yes.
Or whatever. But once you get in the park, right now, just the southern loop, or I always called it the lower loop,
okay,
will be open. But that includes, you know, the Old Faithful Geyser Basin, the lake, the Grand Canyon of the Yellowstone, Norris Geyser Basin. So a lot of the big attractions, I say with air quotes,
mm-hmm.
are still accessible. And then in the next few weeks, they're going to be opening the roads to the whole northern loop. The upper loop will be open too in a few weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. There isn't an exact date on
okay.
it. You won't be able to get in through Gardner,
okay.
but you can come in through West Yellowstone or Cody or the south entrance, and you'll be able to do that upper loop too. But I think the road out to Cook City along the northern range of the Lamar Valley,
yes,
that there's a pretty big washout
oh,
up there.
Really?
So I don't know that will open.
And will yeah. people be able to reach Mammoth, come up that far?
Once that upper loop opens, you'll be able to go from either Canyon over Dunraven Pass to Tower
okay.
and then to Mammoth, or from Madison Junction or Norris and just straight up to Mammoth.
Oh, okay.
It's just that road between Mammoth and Gardner is really, you've probably seen the videos, that really got hammered.
Yeah.
So that's not going to be fixed anytime too soon.
No, I bet you're right. Oh, well, that's something.
Yeah. They're working on some other things, though. The Park Service is working with outfitters and permitted guides so that they may be able to get into Mammoth on the old Gardner Road, and
yeah.
then, which goes from the entrance right into Mammoth behind the hotel.
Yes.
And then they can then meet clients further south in the park. Or there was some talk of them being able to dry camp in Mammoth,
okay.
just like the sort of the permitted guides. You know, so we're telling people, you know, don't cancel your reservations yet. Like, let it shake out a little bit, because even, you know, if you're up here in Livingston, or if once Gardner opens up a little bit more, you still could go in with a guide, most likely.
Okay.
And also, there's just so much more to the greater Yellowstone ecosystem than the park. You know, there's still wildlife and waterfalls and mountains and all those kind of things outside the park, too.
No, that's very, very true. Yeah, I think we tend to forget that. We get so focused just on Yellowstone, and there's the world around it.
Yeah, right. The same as with Glacier, right? The park
yes.
is amazing, but gosh, there's so much around the park too that's just as gorgeous.
It is. Just because there's a boundary there doesn't mean it's any less beautiful.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, so prior to this devastation, how was the spring and the early summer starting to shake out for the park? Did it seem like, you know, wildflowers, everything was kind of on a normal schedule? Did it seem colder? How are things looking this year for you guys?
Well, it was wet and
okay.
gray and rainy for a long time. I think that's kind of our new normal, though, are these drier winters and wetter springs.
Okay.
And you never know what the weather is going to be like, but it definitely, I mean, that's why the floods were so big, in part, was that it's just been raining.
Wow.
Feels like nonstop for a month. It's been very wet. So wow. There are a lot of wildflowers, and it's very green.
Ooh.
It has been wet, you know.
Yeah.
For sure.
Which is amazing, you know, because like I said, when we were talking, messaging back and forth the other day, we're still in severe drought here. We got a quarter of an inch of rain last night, and we're thrilled and praying for more.
Gosh.
Yeah, it's insanely dry in central and eastern parts of Montana. And you guys have all the water. Well, like the Flathead, too. It was crazy.
Right. Well, I was going to say, I was up in Columbia Falls and Glacier in June.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we're still in June. This was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, but seems like a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
And it rained pretty much the whole time we were there. Not not nonstop, but it rained some every day we were there. So I guess you just get over the mountains and you're on that east side, the dry side of the divide.
And we're just dry. Yeah, same thing. The boys and I were over a week and a half ago and woke up to just sheets and sheets of rain. That, you know, I haven't heard that for eons. So, and they're definitely having the flooding, although not nearly as bad as Yellowstone. So one thing I want to tell listeners too is, so, you know, like I said, I've known you forever since the boys were shorter than I was, or I am.
Yeah.
But, and so you're online, you're known as Traveling Mel. So can you tell us what you do, what you guys do, and, you know, how people can find you online and see some of the amazing adventures that your entire family does together?
Yeah. So we have, well, I have two websites. One is just travelingmel.com, and we talk about, or I write about our travels. It was a lot more international, and it will be again, but there's also a lot of Montana, Wyoming, Idaho kind of regional travel on there as well. And these days it's a lot of traveling with teens, but I think it's just good information and itineraries regardless of the age group. And we do a lot of what I like to call soft adventure, you know, sort of the replicable adventure. It's not too hardcore, but it's pretty fun.
Oh, yeah.
And then my other website is yellowstonetrips.com, which is really about planning a trip to Yellowstone. And Glacier and Montana in general, Grand Teton too, but with Yellowstone, it's kind of the heart of it.
It is. It's a good site that I like to send people to, you know, because it's like, I know Yellowstone a little bit, but I know you know it a lot. And so when people ask me questions, a lot of times I'll refer them to you. Here, talk to Melinda.
Well, thank you. And I think back to when I was in graduate school at the University of Oregon, my terminal project or thesis was about the natural history of the greater Yellowstone area. So I've been writing about it, and that was quite a long time ago, as well as working in the park and guiding in the park and, you know, just having spent so much time doing science education in the park. I definitely have spent a lot of time in Yellowstone, and it feels, people always say, it's, you know, it's like my backyard, but it really feels like my backyard.
Yes.
I feel like I know it pretty intimately.
So,
and love it a lot.
Well, absolutely. And the more you know about it, I think the more you do love it, which is the cool part.
Yes.
So along those lines with, you know, thinking about what parts of Yellowstone will be accessible this year, what are a couple of your favorite hikes, family-friendly hikes, or even larger adventures that people might want to think about doing if they're going to get down to Yellowstone?
Yeah, well, so most people, I have a fake statistic I could use, but I'll just say most people don't get very far off the boardwalk.
True.
I always say like 98% of the people never leave the boardwalk, but I don't really know if that's true. So I kind of feel like anytime you take a little extra step off the boardwalk or off the main path, you get to see a whole Yellowstone that other people don't ever get to see.
Mm-hmm.
And even I always encourage people, even at like Old Faithful, which is just a zoo. I mean, there are bleachers to watch the geyser go off, right? And it's a wonder of nature, and you should see that for sure. But even there, if you walk out to Solitary Geyser or Observation Point and just go a tiny bit farther than everybody else, you have this entirely different experience.
Neat.
And it feels a little wilder. But in terms of hikes, like my favorite hike around Mammoth might be the Beaver Pond Loop. And it's not super spectacular. I mean, it's beautiful, but you kind of just walk through meadows and aspen groves and around a beaver pond trail, and it's often quiet. I almost always, not always, but I would say 50% of the time I see a bear back there, a black bear.
Nice.
So that's pretty fun. And I'm trying to think, at the canyon, Grand Canyon of the Yellowstone, I like to encourage people just to go a little farther. So if you go to Artist Point, you can walk past Artist Point a couple miles to Ribbon Lake, which is lovely.
Okay.
And it goes a little bit along the edge of the canyon, as you leave. And then also near Canyon, but right before you go up Washburn, is Cascade Lakes, which is a lovely, easy, flat hike. You might want to wait a little bit because it can be kind of wet there.
Okay. Okay.
It's pretty like low-lying and marshy, but yeah. Early in the season, but it's that's a nice one too. There's so many.
Yeah.
I not to do too much self-promotion, but I do have an ebook on my Yellowstone trip site about 20 family-friendly hikes in Yellowstone, and has all of those plus others.
Excellent. Yep, that's very worthwhile to have on hand. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You mentioned Washburn. So is that going to be open? Weren't they working on that last year to go up?
Yes. Two or three years they've been working on Dunraven Pass, the road over Washburn. But it is open.
Oh, good.
Well, it was open, and now it's closed. But it will be open again when they open that the northern part in 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh,
so,
good.
Yeah, from Canyon, you'll be able to drive over. And Washburn Pass, yeah, that's a gorgeous walk, too. You can walk up to the lookout from the top of the pass there.
Yes.
And that's nice, too.
It is. Of course, working on that historical book of Yellowstone, you see what the lookout used to look like with this, built out of stone and just a really neat construction and everything. And I remember having that picture and then doing my little write-up on it. And saying, this concrete monstrosity was built in, I think it was the 50s I think it was later than that. But my Michael Francis, the guy who supplied all the photos, he caught that. He wouldn't let me include concrete monstrosity. But compared to what it was, I wish they would have kept the stone. But yeah, still gorgeous views. Can't beat it.
Yeah. Well, and if you have two cars, if you can do a shuttle, a girlfriend and I, one time we hiked up to the lookout and then down the trail that comes out. It comes out near Canyon, and you walk through past some backcountry, not really hot springs, maybe like fumaroles or vents, and kind of along parallels the canyon. And I think it was maybe 7-ish miles. And that was just a beautiful hike. And we saw one or two people out there.
Oh, nice.
But you do need a shuttle for that.
Okay. And that is the beauty. It does, like you said, it seems like once you get off the boardwalks in Yellowstone, then you lose the people right away.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And the other thing I've noticed from our times down there, it also seems in the, early mornings, of course, are always good to be out. And then in the evenings, it seemed like once people were in for dinner, that everything quieted down.
I think that's absolutely true. I think it starts kind of early, too, like 4 or 5 o'clock. You can count on people are heading back to their hotels or their lodging or leaving the park or whatever, kind of winding down for the day. And it's a great time to spot wildlife, too. I mean, in the summer, you're not actually close to dusk, but 6 or 7, wildlife is starting to become more active. And so it's a great time to be out just for animals. The lighting is really beautiful and fewer people.
Yes, definitely. Now, we know that this is the 150th anniversary of Yellowstone. this year, and it's definitely a memorable year. But is the park doing anything in particular to celebrate it? Are there any activities or events that are planned or were planned for this year?
Yeah, and I don't know the status of it, but one thing that the Park Service is doing this year, which I think is so great, is they're recognizing the indigenous history of the park.
Nice.
And so there was meant to be an All Nations Teepee Village around Roosevelt Arch and Gardner.
Wow.
Later this summer, but I'm not sure if that's going to happen. But there are different events. There are different events throughout the park to celebrate the birthday, but also to recognize the difficult past of the park, and which, you know, is great. So whether or not any of that will still happen, I think some of it must, but I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that yet. I think they're so busy addressing, you know, are the roads passable, but
yes,
that those kind of things haven't even
come up
yet.
Yeah, those practical matters of infrastructure.
Yeah.
But hopefully within a few more weeks, things will settle down a little bit, and hopefully we don't get any more rain events like you guys have been having.
Right. And I think the USGS or National Weather Service or somebody has said, like, it's, you know, never say never, but it shouldn't happen again this year, because it was a combination of rain on snow, and the snow at that elevation is gone now. And the snow at the higher elevation won't have the same effect. So I think, you know, fingers and toes and everything else crossed.
That's right.
That's it for flooding. It definitely got high again this weekend, but not flood stage. Oh. I think we're done flooding for the year.
Oh, thank goodness. Also, besides Yellowstone, we talked about some of the wonderful things to do outside the park. So what are a couple of your recommendations? Which way do you like to go outside the park if you're looking for hikes or hot springs or anything like that?
Yeah, well, because I'm in Livingston, I'm very partial to the Paradise Valley. And there are two great hot springs south of here. Chico Hot Springs, which I know is open for sure, and that's just a fun place to get in the pool and then also, you know, have food, have a beer, wander around in the hills back there, go for a horseback ride or any of that stuff.
Nice.
And then also Yellowstone Hot Springs, which is down closer to Gardner.
Okay.
I think it's 8 miles from Gardner. And I believe they are opening back up. They're so close to the river, though.
Okay.
But I'm not 100% sure. But that's a fun place to go to sit outside and, you know, soak in the hot springs. But there are a lot of hikes out of the Paradise Valley, both on, you know, the Paradise Valley runs between the Absaroka Mountains on the east and the Gallatin Range on the west. It says that on Yellowstone Hot Springs that the RV park is closed, but the pools seem to be open. So it looks like you could still do that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah. And then once the Forest Service opens up the National Forest, then there are great trails. Pine Creek Falls is popular, and rightly so. It's about a mile or a little more than a mile up to this pretty dramatic waterfall, which is a really nice hike. And if you really want to work your quads and glutes and all those things, you can hike five miles up to Pine Creek Lake.
Oh, wow.
Which we love to do. It's steep coming back, though, so you want your trekking poles for the downhill, I think.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But then over on the Gallatin Canyon side, they did not get quite as flooded as we did. So there are a lot of trails in the Forest Service there. And, of course, up at Big Sky, there's this whole base camp village of zip lines and, you know, those kind of high adventure course activities. Or you could take the tram up, or, I mean, the gondola up to the top.
Oh, that's right, because they have a new one, don't they? Or are they building that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure which, but I know that you could ride it up, and there's a restaurant on top too that is supposed to be open this summer for the first time. Usually it's not open in the summer, but, and then you can hike around up there.
Nice.
I think that's a great place if, one, you don't mind paying for it, but two, you just want to get up high without having to hike up high. It's just a great way to get into an alpine region and then walk around once you're up there.
That's true. Good way to schlep Mima up to the top.
Yeah, exactly. And not everybody can hike 3,000 vertical feet in 5 miles or whatever to get up high. So
that's exciting. That'll be fun for people. Do you guys have any plans for the summer once things smooth out with the water situation?
Well, we will raft. We'll put our raft into the Yellowstone River a bunch this summer, but it needs to go down quite a bit before
You're not going to tackle House Rock like those guys did?
Oh, no. That's over in the Gallatin River. We don't often get into the Yellowstone until around July 4th anyway, because it's so big. But this year, and actually the Yellowstone River is closed to recreation right now.
Makes sense.
So, which is, you know, one of the, just, it's so challenging for all these people. We have so many friends that are raft guides and fishing guides and, you know, Yellowstone natural history guides. And they're just kind of stuck right now. So it's like, oh, please come and visit us. Anyway, there are a lot of good things to do. You don't have to go in the park.
No, that's a good point.
But we're going to Southeast Montana, actually, a little bit drier. We're going to the reenactment at the Battle of Little Bighorn National Monument and Rosebud Battlefield, and kind of checking that out in this weekend coming up. So that's one of our little trips.
And then we'll be able to see the results of that on your website, correct?
Yep. That will all be up on Traveling Mel. And on Instagram, I post a lot a little bit more like the day of while things are happening.
Oh, very good. Good, good. So, well, I think we are about out of time here, but I wanted to thank you again. We've been talking with Melinda Harrison of TravelingMel.com and YellowstoneTrips.com. And just wanted to thank you for giving us an update on what is happening down in Livingston and the northern and eastern part of the park, and letting us know that all is not lost in Yellowstone and everybody will be able to go down and visit and support those local communities and everybody who depends on this short season. Yep, while staying out of the way. Staying out of the way of those.
It's a balancing act.
It is. Yep.
Yeah, I think people are ready to have folks come back.
I think so. It's initial shock, but I think everybody, you're right, is ready.
Yeah. So,
well, thank you again, Melinda, and I look forward to watching your adventures on Facebook and especially on Instagram.
All right. Thank you, Amy. So good talking to you.
You too. Well, thank you, everybody. This is Amy Grisak on Front Range Outdoors on KGPR Great Falls, and we look forward to keeping you updated on the trails and everything that is happening with outdoor recreation.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like more information about KGPR, please visit our website, kgpr.org, where you can find a link to donate, links to all of our other locally produced programming, and information about your local voice. KGPR, Great Falls.
The sun's sinking low in the west, and I know another day on the range has gone by. We'll bed down the strays we've been gathering all day. The Montana lullaby. Ooh, yeah. Oh, do, do, do. Ooh,
Front Range Outdoors is also supported by the Big Sky Country National Heritage Area, enhancing Central Montana's cultural, historic, and recreational resources through community involvement, economic growth, and development. For more information, go to BigSkyCountryNHA.org.